Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Fresh Atlantic salmon portions, 7-ounce farm-raised, including marinated portions, just $5.99 each. Delicious Hass avocados or mangoes, 4 for $5, or just $1.25 each. This week's digital deal is the delicious Sumo Citrus, $2.47 per pound, limit 4 pounds. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Careful analysis, in obedience to governing mandates, and pursuant to the rule of law, this court has determined that the only lawful sentence that permits entry of a judgment of conviction without encroaching upon the highest office in the land is an unconditional discharge, which the New York State Legislature has determined is a lawful and permissible sentence for the crime of falsifying business records in the first degree. Therefore, at this time, I impose that sentence to cover all 34 counts. Sir, I wish you Godspeed as you assume your second term in office.
Oh, barf. Judge Mershon laying the sentence down on Donald Trump because now he's a convicted felon and the president of the United States in like a week and a half. Are we worried about this? No.
No.
You remember? I've been there. I've been proud, too, where you're playing in a sporting event, a tournament. Did so this year. And you play in pool play. You don't do very good in pool play. But then you get to go into the loser's bracket.
Oh, that's the best.
I've won the loser's bracket.
Yeah, loser's bracket's great money right there.
You go to Denny's afterwards.
Oh, yeah. And, you're feeling good.
And your player is like, can I get an orange juice? And milk, and you're like, you sure can. You're the best loser.
Yeah, get the full stack of pancakes. Get the moons over my hammy.
That's where the whole New York Democratic Party. Oh, shush, is right now. Congratulations, Judge Mershon. A round of applause for the winner of the loser.
Slow clap.
Yeah.
Gosh.
Good for you. Good for you. Pinch those cheeks and tell him you love him.
Yeah, we're all rooting for you though.
I'm not.
We had no, I like how you no. He had to say, "Well, Godspeed." You know, we're really on board with this second term here.
This is genuine. This is from my heart.
Yeah,
I gotta go find it. I'll be right back.
We hated to be a part of the process that was trying to stop you from being in this office.
Put upon us. I thought it was kind of ironic that the entire time that they called him a convicted felon and he wasn't, they tried to use that to affect the election. It didn't. And now they can call him a convicted felon and it still doesn't affect the election.
It's really not even really a conviction.
It's like you guys are so close. You're so close to making a difference. But you will also have to call your convicted felon president, Mr. President. So it's not a bad day.
It's just weird.
It's in the legal system, it's a good day because now that Donald Trump legal team can go in and pursue the appeal. The left gets to call him a convicted felon, but they've been calling him a convicted felon. So I don't like, in order for them to feel super good about this day, it would involve a bit of a concession and admission that they've been full of crap this whole time.
You know what they can't call him, though, is a rapist, because then they'll get sued.
Oh, please do. Let's get a little bit more of them dollars into the Trump inauguration fund.
But that's the point, right?
No. George Stephanopoulos' money was going to the Trump library.
That's right.
Not the inauguration fund. That's where all big tech dollars are going right now.
Which is just glorious. They should put a little stone in the corner that says George Stephanopoulos built this.
The cornerstone. Should have a little animation of his face with his glasses. I really feel like the winner of the consolation bracket is kind of what this is. It's not a loss. You didn't lose the whole gosh darn thing. You put your effort in it there at the very end, and you made the best of a bad situation. Yeah. Hooray!
Look, he just swam through the Amazon, came out the other side, flexed and tore his shirt, and then realized, oh, there's a little piranha here. Flick.
On his nipple. Hey, it's good to have you back.
Hey, thanks. Good to be back.
Yeah. Do you only come in when it snows?
Yeah. So I try to only come in when it's hard to get
most
here.
Most people come in when it's easy. If you just walked around the office, at most offices, you'd see that. Ryan only likes to try to take the Ford Explorer out in really crap weather.
Yeah. When I see it's bad, I'm like, well.
Here we go.
Got work to do, honey. Well, yeah, I think you figured out that the kids are home. And I'm like, yeah, I should probably leave, huh? That's kind of what's going on.
Yeah, my whole family's at home. I assume your wife's at home.
Yeah, she's at home.
Yeah, everybody's out of school. That brings me to our YouTube poll for today. And I think I might take phone calls on this. This is a little out of the box.
I bet a lot of people, a lot to say here, though.
I think it's possible. I'm going to unblock the phones right now. I'm going to maybe break a little bit earlier in this segment, and then we'll take the phone calls in the next one. But the poll for today is grade the snow removal in your area. And we have a standard grading system on the Annie Fry Show, which is A, B, / C, D, or F. And, you know, it's really good to see Facebook back to the form it was supposed to be in, which is moms and dads fighting about neighborhood things.
Mm-hmm.
And snow removal's up there at the top.
Yeah, I like it.
School gets closed, and then the question is, does it get closed? Does it? Are your kids remote learning? We have three schools represented in our home. Two are remote learning. One is just canceled. And I have no problem with remote learning. We have the capabilities right now, and the thought of that you could do two things that aren't remote learning. You can just have a snow day, or you can go to school. You call me soft, whatever you want. I am not of the mind that if it's treacherous to get to school for anybody who is in that district, if you've got a district that spans into rural areas and you can't safely get those kids to and from school, and you can remote learn, then just remote learn. I don't understand why everybody is so bent out of shape about this. Unless you're of the mind where you think a snow day should always have to be a snow day. I am okay with the idea of having both the full-on snow day and the remote learning as an option. I am okay with that. And I think that kids should be able to still understand what a true snow day is. But if you're in a situation where you've had 2 weeks off for Christmas break, 2 days off for a snow day, you went back on Wednesday, and my understanding is the majority of people who tried to squeeze in a school day on Wednesday was pretty much to prepare everybody to remote learn for the rest of the week, to give them the information, the technology, whatever it might be, so that, because they knew the weather was coming, to give them the means to actually remote learn. Why would we not use remote learning that we spent a year saying was the absolute necessary thing to do, plus a year plus for some of these kids, not my kids, because I send my kids to a Lutheran school. But why would you not utilize an opportunity to remote learn in some capacity? And here's the real question. And yes, I'm married to a teacher. Brian is married to a teacher. Brad is married to a teacher. They're all different people. But why would teachers not be in a position with remote learning being a part of the possibility to have remote learning exercises at the ready? I know that it would depend on the subject. I know that it would depend on where you are in any given part of your instruction. But I think that educators need to be pressed upon to have the flexibility to be able to take what they're doing and make it digitally accessible. I think that that's something that should be made available. All of this to say that if the snow removal in your area sucks, and that's why kids aren't out of school, then instead of shaking fists at the people who are making these decisions about whether or not kids can get to school safely, why don't you ask your municipality, your county, whatever it is, why they're not doing a better job clearing the roads? Thoughts?
On behalf of my wife, a teacher, snow day is a snow day. Don't make me work my snow days. But also, like, when you get into like day 4, 5, 6, it becomes more of a problem because you're going deeper into the summer.
Exactly. So you still have to meet the state requirements for the hours.
So I think there is a point where you get to, and maybe January feels a little early. I think by February, March, especially April, if you're having snow days by then, that's when you're like, okay, we can't just go into June, you know, like well, and we can't get to 4th of July here. We gotta start doing some days, maybe remote. So I think they'd be okay with that.
Your wife teaches literature, English, what?
Literature and yeah, that's right, English.
So, you know, I don't know, and I would never presume to be like, why doesn't she just do this with her job? My husband teaches history. I wouldn't tell him what to do. My husband has worked to try to make integrated more digital things, but he is a newer teacher than you guys. You're both, your wives are first year or first career teachers, right?
Yeah, only career. Yeah,
my husband came into it. He and I went to TV radio school together, and I stuck with it, and he went back to school to be a teacher. So he came into it at a later time and has integrated a lot of digital things, I think, because of when he came in. But I think that I will even phrase it this way. There's opportunity to make snow days exist more so when you can also implement effective remote learning days. What I would be frustrated as a parent, and honestly, not even really, that's a lie. I mean, I'm putting it on my kids to learn what they need to learn. But what I don't want to have happen is for it to be a remote learning day that is bullcrap. You're counting this as learning, and they're like waving at the teacher on a camera, like, here I am, give me credit. So there has to be actual learning taking place. I don't think it has to be the same. I don't think that the teacher should be sitting in front of a camera lecturing kids for the, you know, until the bell rings and then they got to log into the next Zoom or whatever. But remote learning days should have opportunities for kids to do activities that make them think for a little bit if you're not going to call them snow days.
I think I might be on the exact opposite side of the coin with you on this issue, because I think a lot of this comes from my wife. They're trying to move away from technology. They're trying to get back to connection in person, and not that this can't be a part of that, but I almost think that they would prefer to just sort of, if we got to do a day at home, just check the box. Let's not make it very hard. Let's kind of coast through a day or two at home.
Who would like to do that?
Everybody. I think the parents would like that. I think the teachers especially
would like that. To the extent where if you have a winter like we could be having right now, where you end up having 7 snow days that you're going to school in June?
Well, it depends. It depends on how deep you get into it. Like I said before, if you're getting into week 2, 3, you're going to have to make adjustments. And that's when you're like, well, we got to get some stuff done. Because she's also, I will say, very regimented in saying we have to be done with this section by this date. And sure, getting off of that is tough, too. So, because she really pushes the kids really hard. So they got to stay on schedule. I just don't know. I don't know that we've been in that situation yet.
We haven't, because we haven't had snow.
Yeah, I would defer. Since COVID, I don't know that we've gotten to the point where we really need to go that deep into summer. So I would really defer to my wife and just see what she thinks about that. I know right now, in the first couple days, she's like, give us notice.
Are you going to go get her?
Oh, I can call her.
Have her call in, Ryan.
Yeah, I'm sure her school and she would really appreciate the opportunity to say what she really thinks.
Well, for me, I'm like, I don't care what you do. But
don't you care as a parent?
I do because I like the kids to have snow days where they don't have to do anything. They can just go play in the snow for a couple days.
How long was their winter break?
2 weeks.
So you would rather did they go to school at all this week?
Yeah, they went 2 days.
Same for ours. They had two snow days?
Two snow days at the
Wednesday,
beginning of the
Thursday,
week,
and go back.
Week today. So three total.
And today is a...
Yeah.
I just think that, like, we went through COVID and told our kids to learn from home, and now we're like, they can't learn anything at home.
Well, I think that's kind of the point is that I'm making is that they didn't really do a good job during COVID, so...
Well, but at the same time, that was the whole mess of it. Isn't there a way that you can use technology? Should it be provided so that every kid has opportunity to do that? You can't do it if some kids have it and some kids don't. Shouldn't there be a way for kids to some extent, like I was saying at the beginning? I think that you maybe get, you know how you build your calendar out, you build the school calendar out probably a year and a half advance or whatever it might be. And then there's always at the end, because I always look, like, when are the kids getting out of school? It's like, this is the day they're getting out of school. Unless there are no snow days, then it goes back to here. So they make you commit to the later date, and then it might get pulled back in the event you don't have to have any snow days. But you end up having those three snow days that are built in or whatever it might be. Then there are act of God days where they just get brushed aside. Well, then what happens if you end up getting a 7 days less of instruction or something over the course of time? Like, why is it that at this point in 2025, we don't have the ability to spend one day with our kids with practical remote instruction or an activity that can be assigned that would help them learn on the subject for one day? It seems to me like we should be able to do that. I'm not for taking snow days away altogether. I do think that we should be at this point in time in a place where we could implement either or based on where we are in the calendar year, how we fared, and, you know, if maybe you had a pipe break at the school in September and you had to cancel, and that's essentially on the calendar the same thing as a snow day. Shouldn't we be pressing upon our education systems to be more ready to implement learning at this time, especially going back and thinking 4 years ago, everybody got thrust into it and so many people were okay with it for so long? Brad, do you have any strong feelings on this?
Well, I mean, if you can manage to have an effective learning day, I think that you should have the effective learning day so you don't miss it out. Like you were saying, Illinois has, you know, built-in snow days, and then after a certain point, they're just, you know, you don't have to make them up. And you don't really want to miss out on that. But at the same time, you also don't want the kids with, like, I don't know, I heard horror stories from COVID where kids had answers taped to the wall behind them. They didn't really learn. We looked at the whole thing and learning was behind. So if you can implement an actual strategy to actually teach during a remote learning day, I think that's a good plan. I don't want our kids to miss out on learning, because that's the whole point of sending them to school. And people are like, well, yeah, it's one day or another day. But really, if you start stacking them up a whole bunch, you start missing out on a lot and it sets everything back.
Let us know what you think about this. But the real question, the real conversation I want to have with phone calls, it's not so much about the school days, because this doesn't affect everybody listening the same if you don't have school age children. I do want to know about how you feel about the snow removal in your area. I do want to know how you feel about your taxpayer dollars going to make sure that you can get to and from where you have to go. It is important, too. If you don't have to be on the roads today, you should not be on the roads today. Stay out of the way. Give the plows all the room to work. I know people in my life who are driving snow plows, and they've been driving plows for like 5 days straight. They're working their tails off. Do they have the resources they need? Do they have the manpower they need? Do you feel like they've done a really good job? Do you feel like it's a disaster? Let us know what you think. 314-241-9797. 314-241-9797. Let us know what you think, and we will take some of your phone calls here on The Annie Fry Show. When we come back, you can also go to The Annie Fry YouTube channel, and you can vote. Give them a grade. An A, a B slash C, a D, or an F. Tell us why. We'll be right back. That's when I put on my makeup. Welcome back.
Hi, I'm Kelly Corrigan. You've probably never heard of me. Maybe you did. I wrote some New York Times bestsellers. I gave a TED Talk. But the reason I'm in your ear now is to invite you to listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders. We talk to everyone from Bono to Amy Schumer, Spike Lee to Rainn Wilson, Krista Tippett and Bryan Stevenson about purpose, creativity, well-being, and what makes life worth living. Follow and listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
To the Annie Fry Show, that YouTube live chat poll on the Annie Fry YouTube channel. Come say hi, youtube.com/@AnnieFry, F-R-E-Y. We are asking you to grade the snow removal in your area, A, B, slash C, D, or F. Brad, what's your grade on this poll here today?
B. So B slash C is what I would vote. I would give my area a high B. That's because the state of Illinois did a pretty decent job on the highways coming in. My township would have got, if it was just them, they get an A.
Yeah.
Yeah. When
O'Fallon?
I came, yeah, whenever
Illinois?
I came out of my road, my road's not a snow route, but as soon as I hit the snow routes on what was that Monday morning, they were clear.
Yeah.
Like they as clear as you could get a sleeted road done. I was impressed. I made it into work way faster than I thought it would because of some of the work they did, but. Then I got to downtown St. Louis, and not as good. I'm not sure that they had a plow out yet by the time I got here. So I give them, yeah, that takes it to a high B.
Ryan?
I'm not counting downtown St. Louis as my area, because that would affect the judgment. But I understand.
Yeah.
And this is really interpretive.
Yeah.
Because I would say it would be the roads you had to drive.
Yeah.
That's fair.
So,
but I'm talking about my area,
yeah.
Like where I live, so not including downtown.
Uh-huh.
I give them an A.
Yeah.
They've really done a great, because I live on a little side street cul-de-sac, and they've still plowed.
On the bluff, though.
On the bluff. You know what? We probably get a little more attention because we're on such a big hill, because they know that's like, you got to get that main road right there because it's like a disaster waiting to happen. But they've done a great job. All the roads that I've driven have at least had a good amount of attention constantly.
Yeah, I feel like locally in the Edwardsville area that I'm in Madison County. Madison County's so big. But they get at least a B.
Yeah.
And downtown St. Louis, man. What is the deal?
I heard somebody saying the other day that there are different contracts for ramps.
Listen, folks. Coming downtown St. Louis, you get off the Stan Musial Bridge, to your point,
yep.
Off of the Stan Musial Bridge onto Tucker. The ramp was like a sledding event to go down there. But then the sidewalks, I mean, this is downtown. I understand if you don't have like neighborhood sidewalks scooped up right now, but it's downtown St. Louis. Do you know what people do in downtown St. Louis when the sidewalks aren't scraped off? They just walk down the middle of the street.
Yes.
No, that's
in
true.
Downtown,
oh man,
like
yep.
Pedestrians everywhere, and they don't walk on the side of the street. They walk down the middle of your lane as
because
if they are a vehicle.
That's the only place that you kind of can walk in a lot of areas.
And those lanes are covered in a sheet of ice.
Yeah.
St. Louis, get it together. And I mean that in such a broad sense.
Well, it's funny because the statewide stuff, whether it be Missouri or Illinois in this case, is worse than the local stuff. So if you have, whether it be the ramps or whatever, that's state stuff as far as I understand it, and the local stuff's always better.
Well, let's talk about it. I want to know from you at 314-241-9797 how you feel about the snow removal in your area. You'll have to let us know what your area is and what you think about it. We're going to try to get through these phone calls quickly. If you want to talk also about your thoughts and feelings on snow days versus remote learning versus get your butts back in school, I'd love to hear from you there as well. 314-241-9797. Patrick, thank you for calling the Annie Fry Show. You going to give us a grade here?
Yeah, I'd say, guys, you're definitely a middle A for sure. I'd say like right just below an A+.
Where are you
so
located,
as
Patrick?
Far as when it comes to, you guys are doing great on the show. Thank you. I enjoy listening to you every day for lunch. And just wanted to, you guys pretty much took all the words out of my mouth.
Oh, well, and Patrick, what area were you in where you said you gave him an A?
I meant you guys get an A for the radio show.
Okay.
As far as the plowing.
Well, that's great. Yeah, I appreciate that.
As far as the plowing.
That's my favorite
call. Yeah. Up in Lincoln County, Missouri, they've done a really good job with our county roads. Now, I understand it's hard for MoDOT to keep up with all of the roads throughout all the different counties. But, yeah, just play it safe, be careful, and please don't be out there acting a fool. And that's
talking
pretty
to you,
much it.
Ryan, that was to you, Wiggins.
I was going to say, I feel attacked.
That's Wiggins.
Patrick, starting at 3, I was going to go act a fool, but... Now, after talking to you.
Now, under Patrick's advice. Hey, Patrick, thanks for making this part of your afternoon. We appreciate you.
Yeah, have a good day, guys. Be careful.
Yep, you too. Bye-bye. Kim, thanks for calling the Annie Fry Show. You got a grade for the snow removal in your area?
C.
C? And what area are you in,
no,
Kim?
No, a D. A D. D, as in David. And so I live in Kirkwood, but I work in near Forest Park at the Barnes Hospital facility, and also I work at West County. And they get a D because I live in Kirkwood, and the Lindbergh from Manchester Road to Frontenac, they did nothing until Wednesday.
That's a pretty busy
road.
And
it was horrible. And it's a very busy road, and it's super steep hills. And I got to a point that I wasn't even going that way. I was going Manchester to Brentwood to get to the downtown Barnes. And it was bad. I think it's the worst it's ever been.
Man, I'm hearing a lot of that. The people are like, this is crazy. They're not expecting it to be the way that it is.
Well, I couldn't believe that they did nothing. And it didn't even look like they had pre-treated anything. And, you know, it was so forecasted. They knew it was coming.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I don't think it was just a fact of the cold and how much weather came down. I think it's a matter that they just didn't get to it until Wednesday.
Kim, thanks for the phone call. We appreciate you. Stay safe. Stay warm.
Okay, bye.
Take care. Bye-bye. Let's get to Eric. Eric, thank you for calling the Annie Fry Show. You want to talk about roads, or do you want to talk about school and learning remotely or snow daying or whatever?
How about both real quick, if I may?
Yeah, let us have it.
Okay. City of St. Louis, I can absolutely assure you without a doubt that they do not have enough personnel or equipment to do the job. I'm going to give them a C+, B- with my personal knowledge of the situation.
Okay.
I mean, they've done the best they can with what they have. Now, I also agree with you on the schools as far as the remote learning goes, but I think it's age irrelevant. I think it's subject irrelevant because they can teach them civics, how the government works. They can teach them how banking works, how to balance and reconcile a checking account.
Like a life skills e-learning day? That's a good idea. I like that.
Personal responsibility, you know, social responsibility, the Constitution. There are so many things that are readily available that aren't taught anymore that they could teach grade level, you know, age appropriate to anyone at any time, anywhere in the continental.
I'm okay with that. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah.
You could have a curriculum written. I don't want the government to write the curriculum. Somebody, wait a second. Right. I'm thinking out loud. Right. Leave me alone.
Well, hey, we're the ones initiating this project.
There you
so,
go.
You know,
all
we
right.
can go from there.
Eric, you are the
Thank
czar
you.
Of life skill snow day learning. We
no,
appreciate it.
No, I do not want a czar title. Those don't work out well.
Yeah, you're going to have to go through congressional testimony and everything to get that title. So.
I think it'll get confirmed. We'll have to wait and see. Eric, thanks for listening.
Have a good one.
You too.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You.
I do like that. Like, e-learning just becomes its completely own subject.
Yeah, that's an interesting idea.
I was like laughing to myself in my head. Can you imagine like tuning in to your remote class? You're checking in, like teachers, like today we're going to watch a movie.
I mean, that's what it would be.
Stream a movie.
It would be like going to a driver's ed class where they're like, here, you got in an accident. Here's what you shouldn't have done. Ran into a guy.
But if you, you dummy, can I tell driver's ed story real quick?
Oh please.
One of my favorite stories of my entire educational career. I was in driver's ed, and the driver's ed instructor was talking to our class. And he made the point, and I'm going to get these numbers wrong, but that's not the detail that matters. He said, like 75% of all accidents happen within 10 miles of your home. And this kid raises his hand and goes, why wouldn't you just move 20 miles away?
Was he serious?
Dead.
Really?
Dead
It
serious.
Wasn't a joke.
And we were all like,
So I'd ask, the teacher sir, was, where do you live?
The teacher was like the wrestling coach and the a PE instructor. And a dry, so that's not the person who's like, well, dear. Just like on the face of this teacher, he's like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Oh my gosh, that's great.
This guy's living in 2033.
There might be people listening right now who are in that driver's ed class with me. And they know, because they were there, they remember
Man,
that.
Man, follow-up question. Sir, can you draw a radius of 10 miles around your house?
I'm going to need to know where that is. I'm going to need to know
to avoid
that
this area.
You'd think they'd do something
right,
about that.
Yeah.
Plow the roads, maybe.
No kidding.
Let's get to David. David, thanks for calling the Annie Fry Show. You want to give us a grade on the snow removal, or you want to talk about education and e-learning?
Both, please. Maryland Heights gets a B.
Okay. That's not a bad grade. If you're getting a B.
Yeah, that's fair. That's
good. Because this weather has been gnarly.
Yeah, and on the schools, I think there's a wonderful solution to give every child two packets at the beginning of the school year, and if they run out of snow days, to have them open up the packet and give them things like a short story to read, something about the planets, something about government, whatever, where they can do under the supervision of a parent or a neighbor's parent or whatever.
Sneak into that packet that Pluto is still a planet for the millennials, yeah. For sure. But yeah, like a prepared thing that they can dip into when remote learning comes about.
And it'd be easy for the school district to approve it. It could be part of a contingency plan, and it's very low cost. We used to do it through, like, Great Books program, where you would enrich, you know, the learning experience by having kids read other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
There's no reason it can't be approved contingency to say. And the other thing is they can also do the same thing through remote learning through the same packet.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's something to being prepared ahead of time and having a plan so that they can do something. And I would really push too, David, that whatever is included, it should be fun. Like it shouldn't feel like your normal classwork or whatever. It should be kind of like when you get to go outside for science class because you're going to like look at leaves or something. It's just a different way of doing the day and learning and a little more exciting and probably memorable.
If it's lighter, the kids will look forward to it.
Yeah, I think so, too. David, thanks for the phone call. Thanks for hanging out with us. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Great show, guys.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye. I don't think it would be hard to do. A couple callers ago, totally depends on the age. I'm thinking pretty much of middle school and up. I remember when we were in COVID times and my third child, Evelyn, was in pre-K, maybe? What the heck are you doing? Like, she just didn't do pre-K.
My
oldest daughter would have been in second grade? I think second grade. Second or third grade.
Yeah, mine were in kindergarten. It was just worthless.
Well, yeah, stupid. But if you were to... I just think there are things that you could do that are observational. There are things that you could do. Your wife might like this. You could write. You don't need any technology to do that. And you could have the potential to, communication goes out through emails and stuff. You pretty much have to have access to an email as a parent in order to have your kids in school. Maybe it's writing assignments. It's short paragraphs of this, that, and the other thing or something. But something that gets them to do something. And again, you get a couple snow days, two, three snow days. And then after that, you can spend the time doing e-learning. Here's a wild conversation I had with my husband over Christmas break. I actually think that schools should focus on offering the opportunity to go full remote. And you've got kids who are in, modified learning because they have some learning. No, I don't think they call them disabilities anymore, but learning differences than other kids. So you teach them in a guided fashion that way. You have kids who are in honors classes. So you have a track of kids who are in a different structured classroom who are honors classes. I think it would be cool for some schools to be able to have teachers who are willing to partner their educational instruction. Also, who would be willing to take on remote kids, because I think that there are kids who may want to do somewhat of a hybrid, like kind of homeschool type of a thing. Maybe they travel with their family. They could spend more time with their family if their family travels. I just think that we should be looking into the opportunity to expand how we educate our kids. Obviously, you cannot point at the test scores right now, hardly anywhere in the public school system, and be like, we are not going to mess with this.
Yeah. I like David's idea that everybody gets a packet you take home.
There's no way that packet exists in week two of school. You're going to have to put it in a lockbox.
Well,
and then you're
going
to have to remember where the lockbox is and the combination to get into the lockbox. Nope.
Well, I mean, maybe they're just prepared a little more fresh, like they have some cookies in them, maybe some mints, chocolates for the kids. A little model of a planet. Mm-hmm. You know, you talked about the solar system. You're like, ooh, I got Mars. Ooh, I got the Triton moon of Neptune. You know, they're learning. And they take those home. They really have a good time with them, just like he was saying. Everybody goes home happy.
Yeah.
I don't know that the government could lead those
teacher,
things.
I can't find my packet. Yeah. Yeah. And then the kids are like, Mom, where'd you put my packet? Mm-hmm. And you're like, it's not my packet. That's your packet.
I wanted Venus. It's too hot, son. Put it back in the oven. Because you got to heat Venus up. I don't know if you caught that. Yeah, it's all about being realistic with the learning.
I'm lost. Let's take a break. Let's hand it over to Ryan in the next segment for The Bee or Not The Bee, Ryan Wiggins' very own segment in Wiggins America here on Fridays on The Annie Fry Show. You can hang out with us and join us on The Annie Fry YouTube channel and play along. Will the stories that he reads be from the Babylon Bee, or will they be actual real-life stories that are not the Bee, not satire? The Bee or Not The Bee on Wiggins America, next on The Annie Fry Show.
This is The Annie Fry Show. Hey, baby, won't you look my interact way? With Annie on Facebook. The Annie Fry Show.
Hey, baby, what you gotta say? All you're giving me is fiction.
Wiggins!
Oh! Wiggins!
The Bee or Not The Bee.
All right, here we go with the Bee or Not The Bee. I was just doing some little housekeeping there on the other part of my job.
What other part of your job?
I was cutting some audio in there and putting it in a folder.
Why are you talking like that?
It's all done now.
Speaking of other parts of jobs.
Yeah, yeah.
On last Friday, Ryan, before we get started, I have to bring this up. As you remember probably, I was barely surviving, like just about to get super sick as to what I was last weekend.
Bird flu?
Maybe, who knows? We may never know. And the one thing that Ryan said to me outside of when we were in studio was he walks up to me as I'm suffering at my desk and says, "What's up, you sick piece of crap?"
Ryan! Ryan!
I did do that.
Why?
It was funny. I thought Ethan would get a kick out of it, raise his spirits a bit.
Anything for a joke.
No, I was looking out for Ethan.
Did Ethan smile when you said that?
I think so. He was wearing a hoodie and completely covered his face. So I think behind that like Ewok thing that he was wearing.
Ethan, did you file an HR complaint?
Or is this no.
it? We just send the
this
tape.
This is it.
Okay.
This is it right here.
I'm not denying it either.
Can you imagine sitting down with HR? Not Steve, because Steve would just laugh. Can you imagine sitting down with HR and they're like, Mr. Wiggins, it says here that you said to one Mr. Hannaford.
Uh-huh. What's up, you sick piece of crap? It was actually worse than that. He's cleaning it up.
And you're like, yes, ma'am, that is correct. And then you got to explain it. How do you explain it?
I wouldn't. I would just do that famous little smile.
And then he came back like 2 minutes later and said, I don't usually curse.
You felt that much guilt?
I was just that committed that I thought that would be that funny to say to him.
Like, if I was going to go into the joke, I got to go all the way or not do it at all.
Because he looked terrible. He looked so bad. And I was
Ethan's
like, what can I
nodding
say
in affirmation.
Pile on?
It was an awful day.
As Reardon has said, if you're listening, you're Reardon at all, too. They've been working on some HVAC stuff out the window. So they've been keeping the window next to Ethan and Y98 and Brad's office and Reardon's office open. So it's been super cold. And so Ethan's bundled up, just looking like he's just about to die, you know, but still
That's
working.
What it felt like, too.
Yeah. All right,
but
you ready?
I pushed through and I made it.
Hey, good job.
Yeah.
Here we go. The Bee or Not The Bee. First one. Problem solved. Newsom announces plan to make fire illegal.
Oh. Be the first thing in California that was
Brilliant.
Illegal.
Yeah.
Is it a little obnoxious to listen to the way that they're talking about like looting and all of that stuff? They're like, absolutely under no circumstances will any of this be taking place. And it's like, but you could go down to the city where it's not on fire, and as long as you calculate the right amount of money, you can. I mean, I think they changed some of that stuff in at least the LA County this last election, but California has been permitting this type of behavior elsewhere for years.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, obviously, this is the right way to look at it.
And I'm sure they're sending a real strong message right now, because looters are going, oh, man.
Man, they look
they really got
about
serious.
This
I guess I'll stop looting.
I'm saying the B.
It is the B. After doing some research on this problem, it occurred to me that all these wildfires have one thing in common. Fire. Newsom said to reporters. The move has met significant opposition from marijuana lobbyist groups, though, who put up enough of a fuss that Newsom quickly allowed a provision stating that Californians can make fire as long as it's for doing drugs.
Checks out.
It does, doesn't
yeah.
it? All right, next one. Awkward. Mourners at Jimmy Carter's funeral place flowers on Biden.
Okay. Brad's taking over.
Well, Brad's right.
Oh, man. I thought maybe there was a
chance. There's a chance.
Yeah, yeah, I thought there was a chance.
There's a 1 in 10 that that could actually happen, but...
That's pretty high. That's pretty crazy.
This is the B. There had been a line going up at the cathedral to put flowers on Jimmy, said Vivian Gleckler, a White House staffer, and a few of the people in line accidentally stopped to start laying flowers on Biden instead. One of them even tried to close his eyes. It got really awkward after they split into two lines, with one going to each president to pay their respects.
Did you see that Garth Brooks and Trisha Yearwood sang yes. Imagine at the funeral?
Oh, no. I watched a lot of that funeral, too. I didn't miss that.
No, you didn't. You watched the presidents.
Well,
you watched the
massive
drama.
I was watching it live, though.
You took in the service?
Yeah. I watched a lot because I was in the hospital. I was just sitting there.
That's true. Is there a less Christian song than Imagine?
No, that song's terrible.
It's
theologically
dramatically sad and devoid.
Yes, because it's like, you know what we could do is forget about God and eternity and just try to be happy.
Yeah. How's that working out for you?
You're going to do okay with that?
Yeah, and you're saying this after the person who's in the casket is done doing those things.
They sing Imagine at his
yes.
funeral?
And you got Garth Brooks. I'd rather him sing Thunder Rolls.
There's a line in there that says, imagine there's no heaven.
I know!
Why would you sing that at anybody's funeral?
I don't know. These people make bad decisions.
I heard that Jimmy Carter was a Christian over and over and over for the last 3 weeks.
No, what you heard is he was a good person.
He was a good Christian. Yeah, that's true.
How you get Imagine at your funeral.
No kidding.
I saw a side-by-side video of the pastor saying a prayer, and next to it was Ben Stiller in Meet the Parents trying to say his prayer when he's not a Christian at
mm-hmm.
the table.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it sounds like quotes from God. So he's like, to see thee more clearly. it sounded just like it. It was so funny.
Ooh, Godspeed's such a weird musical. All right, next one. Elon Musk creating new mega corporate town called Starbase.
Real?
Good town.
In Texas?
I think this could be real.
Yeah, I'm going to say real also.
This is real.
Yeah.
Musk is planning to establish a town in coastal South Texas
yeah.
and creating a new municipality in Texas. Requires residents and voter support, but it's all happening.
You know, that's like what Walt Disney really wanted to do with Epcot?
I do know that. Yeah, it's pretty interesting, although Elon Musk might be able to afford it.
Elon, will you please buy Disney? Please.
That would be great.
This is where you say, how much is it?
I'm wondering what the timeline would be to like get something like that one really going and for it to actually like.
So there are already 500 people living in this little area.
Okay.
But it's just a corporate town basically for SpaceX.
Oh.
And they want to incorporate. So it's already
gotcha.
Existing. They just want to call it Starbase. And he's all for it. And he's helping make it happen because he thinks it's kind of fun, apparently. Per the New York Times, earlier this month.
What is it like to be that wealthy?
Must be nice
right?
having that much money.
The employees took a big step forwards, making Starbase a town, and started taking signatures and filing a petition to hold an election.
Wow.
I wonder if he becomes king of Starbase.
Our pulp.
Well, I was going to say, what would he be? Emperor? I wonder what his choice title would be.
Well, if there's an election, I don't think he would be emperor.
He's making the rules.
Well, okay. I guess, yeah.
There are some places.
We're going to incorporate, but on one condition.
Ryan, there are some places that have elections that aren't exactly above board.
We need to get Trump.
It's most of the rest of the world.
I don't think in America, especially in Texas, they're going to be like, yeah, let's just make him the emperor.
Just go back and check out 2020.
We need Trump AI of him saying Emperor Elon.
I could do a Trump impersonation. I did it in my head. It was funny. I'm not going to embarrass myself here by trying out loud.
Biden comforts fire victims by telling about how he once ordered a steak medium, but it was served well done.
No.
Gosh. B.
Please be the
B. Are you sure?
B.
It is the bee.
Oh, my God.
God, can you imagine? Thank you very much.
Second.
Yeah, boom, twice, three times. Quote, now look, Jack, Biden explained, gazing at the crowd of huddled, hollow-eyed fire refugees. One time I was at a restaurant, you know, a restaurant, and I asked Jill to order my steak medium, just the way I like it. I can't stand pink in my steak, so I told her, get it, you know, the way. But when they brought me the steak, it was all brown. And I didn't like it. Biden continued his story, revealing that everything
did the Babylon Bee actually
better.
Write this story?
Yeah, they did.
Oh my gosh, I'm not comfortable with it.
Yeah,
I wasn't comfortable with him being on the news and say
what?
I didn't know.
You're not close to where the end, where did you?
Well, anyway, I don't even know what I was saying.
Happy Friday.
Hey. It's good to be back. We'll be right back.
Hey, honey, you could be my